Good morning, America. This is the Cats Roundtable. John Katsimatidis here, Sunday morning. Sunday morning, let your mind wander. With us today is Dr. Sky, otherwise known as Steve Cates, and he keeps us informed. Good morning, Dr. Sky. How are you today?
Good morning, John. Good to be with you and the listeners. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Tell us, what's going on in Mars? Everybody's talking about Mars these days, especially Elon Musk.
Absolutely. This is the destination that humans will be going to, not because NASA said it, not because Elon Musk said it, but because many smart people in the space community know that that's a destination for human habitation. But what's going on, John, just to cut to the chase, we've seen the third, and maybe even by the time this is on the air, the fourth successful flight of the Ingenuity helicopter. Totally amazing. That Wright Brothers moment has occurred on Mars. And that is the small little 4.5-pound drone-like helicopter that's flown on the surface. But something interesting, we're looking at the Chinese. They're obviously looking to put down their spacecraft, the Tianwen Wen, somewhere in an area on Mars called Utopia, sometime, hopefully around mid-May, to make a soft landing on the surface of Mars. Mars fever is everywhere. And it's so amazing, John, that people can actually see this planet. So in the listening audience of your great show, if people just go out with clear skies, look up into the northwestern part of the sky, and yes, probably about 25 degrees high right after sunset is this object 180 million miles from your eye, and you can see it taking the spacecraft technology and the transport of information well over 17 or 18 minutes just to get there. But it's going to be an exciting time because we see a lot of competition, many people may know, between Jeff Bezos and, of course, Elon Musk. Apparently, Musk has secured the NASA contract, John, for the lunar lander for the next Artemis-type project that's going to the moon and the ones beyond. And now there's some really strict competition. Bezos is stepping up the competition by offering what? He's offering individual flights on his Blue Origin New Shepard spacecraft to replicate the flights that Alan Shepard did. Get a load of this. May 5th, 1961, John, was the 60th anniversary of Alan Shepard's suborbital flight. And Bezos' spacecraft is simply known as the New Shepard, like the next generation. So there's a lot of exciting things there. Mars, the local environment of going up into space and space tourism.
Wow, 1961, it seems. I was there. I was 12 years old, 13 years old. But I remember that, and we were so proud because Yuri Gagarin, was it, that actually beat us out?
Yes, Yuri Gagarin. Something interesting, John. You're right on that. Yuri Gagarin, of course, the first human in space, he actually was the first person not only to go to space, but to orbit the Earth. Alan Shepard didn't do it. And the small backstory on this is, and it's pretty well confirmed, that when Alan Shepard heard that the Russians and Yuri Gagarin had beat us into space, he just slammed his fist on the table in front of NASA executives. And they were worried that he might have broken his hand because back then there was a lot of competition, as we know, to get to space first, especially during the Cold War years.
Something else. I mean, I understand that we are launching into the air all these new satellites this morning. I think it was Elon Musk company was sending out 60 more satellites. Out there is so much space junk. And I understand they're going to launch as many as 30,000 satellites.
John, it's getting very crowded. That's the understatement of the entire show and the entire year. It's getting very crowded up there. And astronomers are concerned, as I mentioned before, not against anything that Elon's doing. They're doing something great with Starlink to try to give everybody on the planet somehow affordable internet connection. But from the astronomer's side, if you take it from my side, the researcher and one who looks at the sky, the astronomers at the observatories are upset, John, because what they find out is a lot of their deep sky images of, let's say, a galaxy that they depend on learning about the nature of creation of stars. What do they get, John? Right in the middle of the image, they get a streak right across the picture in many cases. But it's actually been thought now that the increase in the sky brightness, John, is not just coming from urban lights, like, say, the lights of New York City and other great cities like Los Angeles and around the world, but it actually may be because of the preponderance of so many spacecraft that are actually reflecting light, causing us not to have the darkness that we really wish we had. So that's something that people need to address. And the problem is, John, space junk coming down all the time. We found out that probably, I think it was in mid-March or so, not exact date, one of Elon Musk's spacecraft, a particle that came back down, was seen over the northwestern United States burning up this most amazing shower of sparks in the sky. And people were saying, hey, that's really cool. But the problem was a farmer somewhere out in the rural part of Washington State was out there with his tractor. And what does he find, John? A large module that never did burn up. So stuff like that, what goes up does come down. And we have to be very careful of what we do in that area called low Earth orbit.
Now, last week, was it a UFO viewed by the astronauts going to the space station? Now, was that a real UFO or was that space junk?
Well, John, the simple definition, as we all know, is anything that you can't identify as a UFO. But I saw this on the Drudge Report, and I had to look twice and said, what do you mean? So I looked into the report. First report was that the Crew Dragon capsule heading up to space, it takes 24 hours once they launch to actually navigate with this high-tech piece of equipment, this new spacecraft. But on the way up, John, they actually were warned by NASA of something called a conjunction, and that's when something might get too close to the spacecraft. They were told to get into their pressure suits just in case they had to do something to return to Earth. But I'm finding out, John, around the news sources around the world, that this may have been a false alarm. But then again, the story is too fresh to really know all the details. And you bet I'll be checking that out. But the point there is, again, John, if this is indeed something coming close to a spacecraft like this, the big problem is too much space junk and things like that. And even a small 1 centimeter piece of material, theoretically, maybe even a 10-centimeter particle just floating out in space could penetrate the armor that the International Space Station does have. And that's very dangerous because, can you imagine destroying an entire space station and having to deorbit because of this problem of space junk? And one of the proposals, quickly, John, from the Japanese, and this sounds funny to many people, but don't laugh because it may be their answer. They may be looking to develop wood manufactured satellites made out of wood. I know this sounds crazy, but this they may actually have wood spacecraft in the future, because the problem is when they do re-enter, wood burns pretty much at a lower temperature than the possibility of having a big chunk of titanium or some other alloy coming down and maybe doing some damage. Who knows? Maybe that's the solution, but I thought of it a bit comical when I read it.
Anything else you want to tell the American people?
Well, yes, John, there's going to be in the month of May, just what's happening here. The moon, of course, is going to go back to its new phase, May 11th, the darkest of the times for people to look at the faint sky objects. But here in the western United States, we do get, in your listening audience, the morning of May 26th, another total lunar eclipse called the full flower supermoon. That occurs mostly in the western time zone, only a 14-minute of totality. But for observers on the East Coast, if you feel like you're slighted, don't feel that way. Wait till the date of May 16th, 2022, when most of the nation, I should say, and the East Coast particularly, will get a total lunar eclipse. If you miss that, John, you got to wait for March 14th of 2025. But the month of May, John, all over the listening audience of your show, obviously things are starting to warm up. And what better way to get COVID relief with friends and family now to go out of doors is what, John? Simply look up at the sky. Obviously, keep your eyes to the sky. There's many beautiful things to see. And it usually doesn't cost much. If you're out in a dark place, a pair of binoculars will help. I know it's fun, and I'm sure you and the rest of the audience would likewise think it's a good way to go.
Well, Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates, thank you so much for letting us all know. And when we have a beautiful day and a beautiful sky, I always sit back and look at it. And God bless you.
Thank you, John. Good to be with you as always.
This is the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back.